Which one of these makes me sound British?
It's terrible. Not one of them.
Not one.
Here we go. Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Skeptically Yours. Where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks. On our podcast, Ardent Atheist, you've heard of that. That's our other award-winning podcast. And the No God Band, also from the inner tubes. Did I say that? You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, write a review, help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll replace our podcast with recordings of Trump's promises.
Hey, you can't do that.
Why not?
Well, because then we'll lose the subscribers we already have.
No, we won't. Those subscribers have already paid their $10.
Well, then you can't do it because I won't allow it.
Uh-huh.
What?
Aren't you going to say you'll allow it over your dead body?
No, I'm familiar with your shenanigans.
You win this round, Emery. You win this round.
I win this round over my dead body.
Aha!
What?
If you're a listener
Shit!
Who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California at nighttime. In the Studio City tonight, we have Wendy Hughes.
Hello.
Paula Lauterbach. Brian Hart.
Yes.
And if he can make it, Jimmy Palombi may come in at some point tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You know these folks from the world of reason. Except for Jimmy Palombi. That guy has no reason.
He's a weirdo.
He's a weirdo. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you.
We got through the music.
It's you guys. Okay, you guys just took a nap. What's going on?
What?
To the other side.
We're waiting for our cue.
They're really not performers.
No, we act up.
Heather and I will be the performers tonight.
Okay. I didn't get my script in time.
Yeah? No script. Listen, we had you guys do the show for a very, very good reason.
What is that?
I can't recall.
We're free.
We are
free.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We are working on putting together a skeptic camp.
Campers. Mm-hmm.
I don't
skeptic
think
campers.
That's skeptic campers?
What if you don't
What's
have a tent?
Skeptic campers?
Huh?
Do we have skeptic
What if
campers?
I don't have a tent?
Yeah, yeah.
What is
don't worry.
Camp?
I can always pitch a tent.
Oh.
So, Skeptic Camp is really cool. Skeptic Camp is it's a day of people giving short talks, small talks, right? Kind of like Skeptic X.
We're beginners.
TEDx joke.
Right.
Yeah. So,
oh.
Yeah. So it's it's people who really don't speak publicly a lot necessarily, although there are a few people that that we're talking to who have spoken a bit.
Well,
can we talk about who we're having?
So far, yeah. I would say...
Because Barb will be there, right?
Barbara Drescher is probably the most...
Accomplished.
Most experienced,
yeah.
Right. Skeptic that's going to be speaking.
She'll be doing a longer talk for us.
Right.
Yeah.
And also a shorter talk.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to open and explain what skepticism is for people who are attending that may not know quite what organized skepticism is.
And after her little introduction, half the people there will go, oh, well, I got to go home. Because I don't understand what I'm doing here.
No, I think that it's good to have an explanation because it is obscure.
Yeah.
It's going to be at a college, but... Santa Monica College. So, but some of the students may not be familiar with
your alma mater.
My alma mater.
Did you go the whole year there? I mean, the whole 4 years there?
No, it's a 2-year college.
Oh, it's a 2-year college.
Yes.
I don't think you can have. Yeah. If it's only a 2-year college, then it's your partma mater.
Partma mater.
Yeah.
Let me.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks. I'll be here all show.
Let me put
you see how
way.
That joke worked?
Yeah, I now see it.
Okay.
it didn't read right, but yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? It didn't work well on Twitter.
Let me put it
either.
This way. I did my undergraduate work there.
Oh, there you go.
Does that make you sound professional?
Studying what?
Studying psychology.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, you think you're smart, do you?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'd like to think so.
So we are putting together the Skeptic Camp thing, and it's really been fun, and I'm looking forward to it. And the idea... I'll tell you what, it took me a while to really wrap my brain around it. Finally, Barbara explained it to me very well. And I figured out that it's kind of open mic for people who want to learn how to speak publicly.
About skepticism.
About skepticism. Mm-hmm. It's a really great idea. And this is a thing that's, we didn't invent it. This format was has been around for years, right?
Mm-hmm. How long, do you know, does anybody know how long it's been?
I know that about 10 years ago.
It has a Wikipedia page.
Yeah. There you go.
I know that about 10 years ago, there's something called Bar Camp, which is what technoids would do, would go and do exactly what we're doing. And I can't forget, I don't remember why it's called, why it was called Bar Camp.
Because it meant in bars.
Is that what it was?
That's really
okay,
what it was.
I didn't know that. And then Reed Esau.
Sometimes the answer is right there in the name.
Right. Then Reed Esau, Colorado skeptic, created Skepti Camp.
Cool.
And I think the first one was held in Colorado. And it's been pretty much in every city, small and large, except for Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Really?
Started 2007, according
okay.
to Wikipedia.
Yeah, 10 years.
Okay.
Well, then there was a small attempt at a Los Angeles Skepti Camp a year or two ago, and
didn't go well.
I don't know that it didn't go well.
We don't know anything about it.
We don't know really very much about it. But the idea of it was so attractive to me because I misunderstood what it was supposed to be about.
What'd you think?
That's
it was?
So funny.
I thought that it was a conference,
and it
wasn't.
And it's not.
We've been working on this for months.
And when Richard Dawkins or Neil deGrasse Tyson didn't return your call, you started rethinking the whole process.
Right.
Right. And so finally, when we were talking finally yesterday. And
we had a meeting.
She pounded home the point that it was
open mic.
Open mic for skeptics.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was like, I won't say that the things fell off my eyes, you know, but all of a sudden it became clear why they should be small. It's because they need to be interactive.
Yeah, you don't open this up necessarily to the public. You don't invite people. You don't try to get people to come attend it. You look for people who want to take part in it, and that is the audience as well as the speakers.
It's like a practice round for a game show or something, you know?
And in a sense, it's not like, use the term open mic, it's not like an open mic where you come in that day and you sign in.
Right.
There's a committee of which some of us are on this committee. Yeah. And
I think we're all on this.
Yeah. All of us here.
Yeah, except for Barb, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of vetting involved in that. We would like the people to have a certain length of speech, of lecture, and
he's hung up on length. Yeah. He always has been.
Yeah.
Well, when I first heard about it, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this because I didn't really understand what it was either. And I'm not a fan of lectures. Like, I don't want to just sit and listen to 10 people talk for an hour about stuff unless it's like cats. You know, I love going to the, where does Shermer have his?
Skeptic Society.
Caltech.
I love going to Caltech when they used to have their conferences, day-long conferences with speakers, but I could not sit through everyone talking. Some of the topics interest me, and some of them I literally fell asleep. And so, but this, once I found out exactly what it was, I thought, oh, this is a cool idea. We are talking to our peers, and we are going to be practicing. So, like, it appealed to me because I eventually do want to speak, you know, at a conference somewhere or at a...
You can't speak. You're a girl.
Shut up.
And you don't want people falling asleep on you.
I don't want people falling asleep on me. And I also want to make sure I have the right information. So this conference, this Skepticamp, will help me figure out how to address things. Because you have to have references to all of the facts, quote-unquote facts.
Yeah, citations.
You have to have citations for everything. So it's going to make me do the work. And it's going to make me be able to give a better talk.
And it's smaller, so if people have questions, they're going to be able to ask you their questions and get constant feedback. It's not like if you have a big speaker, only the first few people are going to get to ask any question.
Right.
Yeah. Like when I went to TAM, I liked to hang out with my friends. I went to a couple of people's talks, but they were mostly my friends' talks. I wanted to support them. So the whole thing about big, you know, weekend-long conferences for me is the socialization aspect of it more than the going to see everybody talk about stuff. And that's why I like them.
Yeah, Susan Gerbic often says that TAM for her happens in the hallway.
Me too.
And it's great because in that situation, you get a lot of people come from all over the world, really. And you get to meet people you've heard about. And you get to meet people who you've never
heard
of before, or and seen,
and people that you And then people that you've met online that you've maybe never met in person as well. And also, TAM, for people who don't know, who might be listening, is the amazing meeting.
Was
the amazing meeting. They don't have it anymore. I had a dream, actually, the other day
that
TAM was going to happen again. And I was like, but they've been saying all this time, we're not having another TAM. So now I'm seeing people posting about another TAM. What is going on here? But no, it was just a dream. Wishful thinking, I guess.
We'll have something similar in Vegas later in the year.
Yeah, but I lost my train of thought. Oh, James Roundy Foundation is the whole amazing meeting thing.
So, Jimmy, what do you think of this?
I don't agree with the whole, you know, the whole concept is really beyond, and what you said earlier, that really rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Jimmy, by the
way,
I
just walked in.
Just got in. And I blindsided him. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
I don't say that with any.
You
I'm surprised
it.
You. You know, I thought you. You know, usually when Emery calls me, there's no one here.
So. I'll tell you the truth. We weren't sure if Brian was going to be able to make it, so I called you in as a pitch hitter, or is it pinch hitter?
Pinch.
Pinch or
in a
pinch.
Oh, yeah. Pinch.
In
it's
a
pinch.
Pinchy pinch.
Pinch.
In a pinch.
So you said yes.
I said let's get Jimmy, and here you are.
And so and then Brian was able to come, so I was very happy for both of you to be here.
So something inside me knew, because that's why I was a little tardy.
Yeah.
Bull. a shits.
I drive a 72 Beetle. That's why I'm tardy.
Wow.
Super Beetle?
No.
So to catch you up on this, Jimmy, we were talking about SkeptiCamp, which is a one-day-long conference that we're putting on, where we, skeptics, our peers, give short talks to our peers. So, and then we can all ask questions
and critique one another,
and stuff like that. And we're the people giving the talks aren't professionals at all. None of us have probably ever really done this before, except for maybe a small few.
Wait a minute, Brian.
Would you allow a professional to do it? Or?
Sure.
If
sure.
they wanted to do it, they could.
Barbara Drescher's going to come do an hour for us.
Yeah. We have at least 1.5 professionals coming. Do it.
I've done 2 TAM lectures. Are called the Sunday lectures, which is kind of the same thing.
And so is Wendy. So Wendy's a professional.
An amateur in terms of being a grassroots skeptic. I'm not a professional skeptic that makes money at it. This is totally a hobby, and I do it for the love.
And for the record, honey, you and I are both professional skeptics. Number one, and I'm a professional public speaker.
I'm not really thinking about skepticism as being the professional skeptics. I'm thinking of speakers.
Yeah.
Speakers. I've spoken in front of an audience.
She's
a couple
speaking
times.
Right now.
Right in front of this.
I'm
audience.
Pretty sure I stole
and
Jimmy's
you have
joke.
A podcast,
just now.
Which is named
The Odds Must Be Crazy, is a segment on Skepticality Podcast.
Yep. Yes. With Heather Henderson, I believe.
With Heather Henderson is...
I'd like to get with that
my
chick.
My producer. I think I can arrange that for
woo-hoo!
You.
Woohoo!
I can't.
Yeah.
And a pimp.
And all of this is kind of... Is the word incestuous? Because Barbara is one of our...
She works on the show as well, on The Odds Must Be Crazy.
Yes.
She gives you great...
She's one of our analysts.
Great insight.
Analysts.
So there's really no analysts. There's no amateurs. That's what I'm starting to hear now. No one's really an amateur.
That's really where it went.
We're all professionals in our
By the way, for the record...
I'm an amateur.
There you go.
Oh, wait a minute.
For the record, the most skeptical person sitting at this table, Jimmy Palombi.
Oh.
He will pick apart everything we say. It's
no,
pretty beautiful.
No, I don't. I don't buy that at all.
I see what you've done there. Genius, that guy. I am going to be doing... can I talk about the talk I'm going to be doing? Can I give any of that away?
I don't. It's up to you.
I kind of want to.
Go for it.
All right.
We're not going to be talking about your daily poops, Emery.
What?
We're not doing it.
Listen, here's what happened. On my Facebook wall, which is public. It's public, by the way. On my Facebook wall, one day, Brian Dunning, good friend of the show and friend of ours, he came onto my wall and made a joke. The joke that he made, here it is. I asked the question, once we have driverless cars, shouldn't the cost of automobile insurance plummet? That's what I said. And a lot of discussion took place. But then... out of nowhere, this Jeff Schwartz. By the way, anybody whose name I'm using, I got permission to use their names, okay? Because skeptics are moral people. He says, my Tesla is in for annual service, and they loaned me a new one, which is equipped with autopilot. It did almost, it did most of the driving, but still isn't self-driving. And I'm going to refer to this person as White Knight. I just wanted to make up a name, just any kind of name, so that because I don't have permission to use this person's name. I'll call him White Knight. Anyway, White Knight says, Teslas need service. Jeff Schwartz says, preventative maintenance. Rotate tires, windshield washer, fluid, and the like. And White Knight said, duh, of course. And then Brian Dunning jumps in and says, if you take your car in for the tire rotation and fluids, you need to turn in your man card. And I said, where does one get this card, man? And White Knight jumps in and says, I don't want a man card. I know that is meant to be funny, but it screams sexist bullshit. God, fuck you if you think I need to do those things myself to be a man. And I said, what do you need to be a man, White? And he goes, well... And Brian goes, well, that certainly escalated unexpectedly. Sensitive spot. And White Knight says to me, pronouns, Emery. I need pronouns. Mm. And I said, fine. What do you need to be a she, man? he goes, yes, unashamed, sensitive spot, he says. I see too many of my women friends suffering because of subtle sexism. Pronouns. And I go... There is nothing sexist in Brian's joke. I gave his goddamn name away. You can edit that out. nothing at all. It was satire. And then I said, no one here thinks anyone needs a card to be a man. It is the idea that anyone would think that makes what he said funny. I said, no one here thinks that not rotating one's own tires is a measure of manhood or manliness, hence the absurdity of the humor. And he said, all right, standing down. And I said, it's your kind of illogical and emotionally charged attack that pushes so many away from the feminist movement. It's all about context. And he says, I disagree on illogical, but certainly emotional. Yeah, the context is what I have a problem with. I don't think he understood what I meant by context. And I said, to attack someone's choice of words for a joke that is, by design, shining a light on and belittling the old world view that a man is measured by his automobile maintenance prowess is illogical.
You actually explained it to him.
It's a shining example of illogic. And he said, I disagree. And I said, obviously.
Doubling down.
And White Knight says, heh, we can agree on something at least. I said, absolutely, we can agree that you are wrong, but can't see it. And White Knight said, indeed, we can also agree that you're an arse, but still funny. I said, how dare you refer to my body to me by a body part? Why would you feel the need to reduce me to one of the most smelly portions of the human body? It's this kind of bodism that is destroying America and making partial Americans feel partialized. I have friends who don't even have an arse. How do you... think that makes them feel. And I think I had permission from you. I don't know.
Why not?
Someone else jumped in and said, I see too many of my women friends suffering because of subtle sexism. That's a quote from White Knight. And
you mean?
And this.
Oh my God!
And this person says, I see this or similar posted on occasion. What kind of suffering? Speaking for myself, I don't feel suffering. With this joke comment, I think you discredit women when you think they are so weak they feel they are suffering over something like this.
I'm a delicate little flower.
White Knight says, because they tell me so, Linda. And
do I have to bleep that out too?
Yeah, I guess. No.
Okay.
No, it's Linda. It's not anybody else. It's Linda. And I asked Linda if it's okay. And Linda said, Linda says, White Knight, well, hopefully they are getting help with this issue. Ross Blotcher, who gave me permission, jumped in and said, I'm so glad I'm not participating in this thread.
He's smart.
And I said, but you are. But now you are. And he said, damn it. And I laughed at him.
So you're going to do your talk based on that thread?
That is my talk. I am going to be talking about the illogic in that. I'm going to be talking about how that isn't, first of all,
it's a real-world example of something we experience every day online.
We do. I do a lot. I experience it a lot. Because me and my comic friends, and I have a public Facebook profile. Anybody can come in and read and or interact with my profile and the people in it. And it's pretty consistent that I get someone every other week acting like this. In fact, just before this one happened... you can remove that. On the same day, I believe, it might have been the day before, I had a similar kind of weird attack out of nowhere. And it happens to me a lot, I know, because my friends and I use this kind of, and I'm using George Carlin's language when I say this kind of spice, this kind of pepper and salt in our ideas and our language and the way we communicate jokes and ideas. And it really sets off that whole regressive feminist left ilk.
Well, it's also censoring speech and you know, like...
It's the authoritarian...
I'm gonna interrupt you, and
well,
I'm going
to
say
something. I have something to say about
but
that.
But let me... Okay, I want to make sure I say... It isn't censoring speech if it's not the government doing it. That's a fact.
Well,
but I do want to say, I think it's okay to call it social censorship.
Okay. Well,
that's what I think. That's a good phrase I like.
What I wanted to compare it to was we were just watching South Park before the show, and what's the kid in the
PC.
Wheelchair?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jimmy.
Jimmy was head of the newspaper
for the school.
For the school, and used the R word and the...
Retard.
Retard.
I'm sorry. The etard word,
and the counselor said he shouldn't do that because it makes other people sad. And so the counselor was trying to explain how he knows a lot about handicap rights and how Jimmy, who isn't in a wheelchair or on crutches, shouldn't say that word because it hurts people.
It's interesting because that movement that we're talking about the regressive feminist left.
The RFL?
Yes. The RFL, I love that. That is fantastic. The RFL, they oftentimes are like this person, screaming on behalf of others. You know, it's. Don't get me wrong. On occasion, you absolutely will encounter a woman saying these things, or a handicapped person saying these things. You know, or a gimp saying these things. There are people within these groups that absolutely will speak up in this manner. But oftentimes, and I mean more often than not, it's someone yelling on behalf of someone else.
A white knight.
Like that's why I refer to him as a white knight. And the problem with that is, someone within the group that he was trying to protect, that he's claiming to protect, stepped in. Her name was Linda. And she said, I don't feel this way. I don't need you to do this. And I think it infantilizes us people. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that people in that world don't take their own advice and shut the fuck up and listen. Because that's one of the things that you hear all the time. We need to shut the fuck up and listen to people within these groups that are marginalized.
But that's only if they agree with the...
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you have a different opinion...
Yeah.
You're seen as an outsider, even if you fulfill all the other qualifications. And in this case, I think we're talking about being a woman.
Right.
And... I mean,
there are three women at this table who don't agree with that guy's argument.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I thought that there was something wrong with me until, you know, I began to talk with some of my close friends and confessing and saying, look, you know, these things creep me out.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, they said, no, there's nothing wrong with you at all.
Oh, yes, there is. It's just not that. It's something else. All right.
Well, I disagree
back,
because
right?
It's not a man card. Everyone knows it's a man button.
It's a man button. A thank you very much, Jimmy. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. Great news, in fact. Thanks, old man. We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service, however, will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. What did the environmentalist get when he sat down for too long on an iceberg?
What?
Polaroids.
But they don't even make Polaroids anymore.
No. The joke. Never mind.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids. Remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll come.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Wendy Hughes, Paula Lauterbach, Brian Hart, and Jimmy Palombi. Thanks for being here, everybody. If you can hear that, somebody has set off an alarm outside. Someone said, did you go outside and check it out?
I looked out the window. It's nobody, none of our cars.
Nobody we know? Oh, great. So, yeah, we have an alarm going off outside. I hope it's not too aggravating to the listener. Oh, it finally went off.
It'll
cool.
go off again.
Yeah.
I know how these things work.
It's the White Knight alarm.
The White Knight alarm. Nice, nice. Well done.
By the way, I think that guy's name is Whitey. I think Heather called him that by that name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I got an idea, you know, that where you were reading the emails from each other.
Yeah.
I think you can get Dean Cameron and Victor Isaac to read those on
to
stage.
Do that.
I think they can do that.
Another thing that blows my mind about this kind of exchange is that the guy I was interacting with, he is in a group. One of the things that the what we call them are what
the RFL.
One of the things that the RFLs. Thanks, Jimmy. One of the things that the RFLs. You can open that window, Jimmy.
They say that they can barely hear the alarm, so it doesn't matter.
One of the things that the RFLs will do is they'll say that you should shut the hell up if you're not in that group, right? If mm-hmm. you're not a member of a group, keep your mouth shut and listen. And then you have these white guys yelling about women's rights.
They're representing the very people that they say.
Yeah.
They're helping the people.
Doing the thing they're telling everyone not to do.
Exactly.
That's what makes
exactly.
me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You have this philosophy about not being able, you're privileged. You're a white male, you're privileged. So you don't understand what women are going through, so shut the fuck up. Now, you white males that agree with us, knock yourselves out. You understand this. How? How the fuck could they possibly understand you? The fact is, human beings are varied. There are different experiences throughout life.
It's just like I don't get the white plight.
The thing is, there are all kinds of things on this. It's called the progressive stack.
No one's
going to
ask me what the white plight is.
White flight. White flight.
I'm sorry.
Honey, what's the white plight?
What's the white plight?
You know, being rich and eating caviar, drinking champagne. I don't get that plight. I don't understand
And being scared when your girlfriend does an Oprah neck at you.
What?
She never does. Actually, never does.
I don't do that.
She doesn't do that.
The white half of me won't.
What did I tell you? You can do it, though, right? I mean, it's
yeah,
in your genes.
I'm not doing
right?
it just for you.
You were bred for it, right? What'd I say? Jimmy the Greek again, ladies and gentlemen.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, there's the progressive stack with all the different people, where they are in the social stratus. But specifically when it's white knights and women, they're putting forward and enforcing the trope that the damsel in distress, that the weak woman and
needs help.
Yeah, and when yeah. you
can't take care of
making,
a damsel.
You're making it worse.
I think the Moody Blues, that White Knights and Women song that they sang in the 60s.
No,
White Knights and Satin.
That wasn't about, yeah.
Knights and Satin.
Knights and White Satin.
Nothing to do with this, Jimmy. Thanks. Thanks for playing, Jimmy. Yeah, it's right there. Don't piss off Jimmy. Yeah, it really blows my mind. The lack of logic that people don't understand that they're doing a thing that they're saying people shouldn't do. It just blows my mind.
I do want to bring it back to Skepticamp real quick. That's what you want to talk about. Okay, now we know. Thank you, Emery. what is the date for submissions? Because we're still looking for people to submit as speakers. So now that you know what it's about, you can still submit.
The deadline for submissions... this is in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Okay. In at Santa Monica College, we're Skeptics by the Sea. The before deadline you, for subs.
Before you get, let me give you a little background music for this. Okay, go ahead. There you go.
That's beautiful. Okay. Thank you, Em.
Yeah, I want it to be professional.
The deadline for submissions is easy to remember: April 15th.
Okay, April 15th.
That's the day taxes are due. So that's the deadline for submissions, with the exception of students and faculty at Santa Monica College.
Yeah.
Because the reason that we're having it there is that we have a dear friend who's a professor there, Nate Brown, and...
he runs the Skeptics Club there.
He runs the Skeptics Club, and he's just done everything to get us this fantastic venue.
Yeah.
And the camp itself is on May 7th, Saturday, May 7th, starting at 10 in the morning until 5 in the evening.
And we want them to join us, so we want to give them a little bit more time to submit their...
Yeah,
okay,
so we
Emery.
Gave the
All right,
students...
Emery, I'm going to...
Heather, get them!
Breathe deep the gathering gloom. Watch lights fade from empty rooms.
We now know your age. All right. So
I had this on a cassette Absolute. Tape on a constant loop when I was
It's a great
kid.
Song.
So we want to give them
an extra week. So they submit. Get through the 22nd.
Why do we never get an answer?
If you play this podcast backwards, you get all the information.
Thank you for giving us that information.
More information about it can be found on Lanyrd, LANYRD, or on the Los Angeles, what's the name of our meetup?
Hilarious.
The Greater LA Skeptics Meetup.
Yeah. All you have to do is go look for Skeptic Camp LA 2016 at lanyrd.com and you can find us. They have a search feature there, right?
I think so.
It's that easy. Or I can
know.
Give
I
it to you.
Figured
go
it
to
out,
lanyrd.com /2016/ Skepticamp LA 2016. That's the address. Good luck with that.
1C in Skepticamp.
Yeah, 1C in Skepticamp.
Is
not Skepticamp.
Tents involved in like campfires?
Yes.
There will be marshmallows.
Just tell them yes.
Yeah. Are you guys still not allowing Asians?
Oh my God!
I don't know what you're talking about.
Bring it up.
This is our first one, and for the record, if we had one previously, you're right. We wouldn't have allowed Asians. I got to be honest.
Yeah, and if all else fails,
it makes you nervous. You know, you always think, well, why are you staring at me like that? But they're not. You know, it's like stop concentrating. I'm trying to speak, man. See what happens when
Phil's
you bring up
call in.
Wendy, what were you going to say before you were so Asianly interrupted?
If all else fails, send me an email, wendy@theoddsmustbecrazy.com, and tell me what you want to do at our Skeptic Camp.
I'm pretty sure it's illegal for me to use that music.
Let me also say that that the idea of this is none of us are professionals in the sense that, you know, I'm not a scientist, I'm not an engineer, but if my interest and knowledge happens to be UFOs, then I would give a talk on UFOs or the moon hoax or whatever. Right. So the idea is, and I got this at the amazing meeting right away, the Sunday talks, was people who are not professional speakers, you could talk about a subject. And I think it originally was for 20 minutes, then became 15 minutes.
Right.
And for years I've been following these people and watching Shermer lecture and Neil deGrasse Tyson and so forth, that I could actually do this for myself. It really emboldened me and got me much more involved in the skeptic movement.
Yeah.
That I have this expertise, maybe not like the pros, but I know certainly more than the average person.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but James Randi got his start at a skeptic camp.
Really, some might be interested.
I know they started in 2007, but that, you know what? You're just going to have to take my word for this.
But I'm skeptical.
I one of the things that occurred to me about Skeptic Camp is the possibility that some moron would eke through the process and stand on that stage and talk about, and this is the problem, people who believe that vaccines are causing autism think they are skeptical people. They think they're skeptics. And people who argue that the moon landing was a hoax, they call themselves skeptics, and they're not.
Well, one of the reasons why it would be, even if we decided to let that squeak through, because we are going to be looking at the submissions before they're
vetting,
able to
yes.
get up there, everyone in the audience will be able to ask them questions. So
I don't think they'd get a word in edgewise after their initial introduction. I mean, yeah, everybody in that crowd would be going, hold on, motherfucker.
Yeah, I think we initially discussed this when we first started talking about it, like, would we allow someone like that? Well, obviously, we wouldn't allow nine speakers like that.
Yeah.
But having one in our midst would be interesting, again, for us to show a restraint, not try to do ad hominem attacks, which means attacking the person at the ideas. And again, that's sort of the learning process.
So you would let at least one through if it came across, as long as they're not Asian?
Yeah, fellow man. If they were reasonable, if they could put the sentences together, you know, like a lot of these, you know, I've been involved with skeptic organizations for a long time. These people,
they do put sentences together a long time.
Yes, long time.
I think
they have a very difficult time putting into one or two paragraphs it is that they can do.
So we are letting Margaret Cho in.
Yeah.
I think that's the interactive nature of Skeptic Camp, as opposed to going to a conference where every speaker is a big authority in their field.
Right.
This is grassroots skepticism on this level, where we get to practice with each other, that the people that are speaking are also the audience. We have decided for Skeptics by the Sea, which is to leave it up to the speaker to say whether they will accept questions during their talk or if they would prefer to receive questions at the end of their talk.
A slight modification of the general rules of Skeptic Camp, where we let the individual decide who's given the talk. That's a good idea. I love that idea.
Well, I think this is going to give the person the immediate response about what worked in their talk and what didn't work.
Yeah.
So that the next opportunity they have, they can go with what worked.
So, Jimmy, what are you going to talk about at Skeptic Camp?
I'm going to talk about, you know, the do's. And if you bring it every time, because I have myself have seen the whole, and it's just, I can't, it's just not in my bag. That's where I stand on
it. And that's why Jimmy's here.
I could watch 15 minutes of that. That would be glorious.
I think you have a 15-minute set of that,
yeah,
don't
yeah.
you?
I'm sure
you
do. I'm
curious something you said. Like if someone were saying, let's use the moon landing thing.
Yeah.
So if someone said, we just landed on the moon, you know, last month.
Yeah.
Couldn't you say, well, I'm skeptical of that fact?
Well, sure. Skepticism as a discipline, if you will, it's about provable facts. It's about what can be evidentiarily expressed, the scientific process. The moon hoax folks and the anti-vaxxers and folks of that ilk, they are not relying on evidence for their arguments and their points and their claims at all. In fact,
I don't agree. I think they are relying on what they perceive as evidence.
Well, now that is absolutely true. There's no question about that. We have to define what evidence is for my sentence that I just said to make sense. Scientific evidence or provable evidence is different than hearing from a friend that another friend was at 9/11 and saw a thing. That's not evidence. That's a claim.
That's circumstantial? No, wait.
It's not even circumstantial. No. What it is, anecdotal, is what you would call it. And anecdotal evidence doesn't become significant until you have a massive amount of it.
What about
which changes
visual,
it from like anecdotal?
The people are, you know, using the moon photographs as physical evidence.
Well, how you parse the information put forth on, we'll talk about the moon landing now. How you're parsing the information, the claims that are being made, the things that are being claimed based on the photographic evidence that you're referencing. That's where the problem comes in with moon landing hoax people. When you pay close attention, and skeptics do, by the way, really do. When you pay close attention to these arguments, you're constantly finding the insidious flaws. And it's easy to figure out, it's easy to see that these people are not indeed offering evidence, but in fact...
searching for evidence to back up their...
They're using confirmation bias is what they're using. That's the phrase. Yeah. And so one pilot from the Air Force claiming that he saw a UFO is a kind of evidence that I've been offered for UFOs. And that's just not fucking evidence. It's absolutely not. Evidence that would support a claim like UFOs exist and there are aliens on them would be, as Neil deGrasse Tyson says, would be... Next time someone gets abducted, just steal anything off the ship and come back with it. Anything. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. Grab it, an ashtray.
It's
it doesn't
hard,
matter.
They're always so shiny and gleaming. You can't.
Yes.
There's really nothing. They're very neat.
They're a very neat non-people.
It's got a lot of anal juices on everything. So
yeah. That seems like a good closing
AJs.
Beat.
We call those AJs.
You're listening AJs. To Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available to the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now, so go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. What's brown and sticky?
What?
A stick.
Oh, did it have sap on it?
No, the joke, it's... Oh, never mind.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids. Remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry. You'll come.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Wendy Hughes, Paula Lauterbach, Brian Hart, and Jimmy Palombi. Thanks for being here, everybody.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. During the break, Brian was talking about when he was with the IIG. There was a guy who really believed in the UFO phenomenon and that they were actually aliens.
Thanks, honey.
Never do that soft. You got to hit that.
He was a moon hoax guy who would show up at Caltech at the Shermer Lectures with all these posters saying, like, the moon landing didn't happen because of shadows, because of this, and where's the fuel, and where's
various air quotes evidence that he thought proved his argument.
So we invited him to our group to give his best presentation. We gave him about an hour or so, and he showed some video, and he was kind of fumbling around a little bit. And every single argument that he had, we'd say, but what about this picture on Earth where the shadows don't line up, or whatever it was. We had one by one, we had disproved everything he was talking about.
Yeah.
And you could see he was kind of what Barb, if she was here, would call cognitive dissonance, where he would blink that away and say, but what about this? Which I call topic jumping.
Yeah.
I
experienced this when I invited a good friend to come over and sit in the living room with me. And I asked this friend to please make a list of all of the things that really convinced her that 9/11 was an inside job. And so beat by beat, she had a list she brought over, printed it out, and we went down it one after the other. And we talked about, just two friends talking, about what it was, each one of these things. And then I would counter with, well, isn't this possible? Isn't this a better explanation? Doesn't this cast doubt on that? Well, yeah, but what about this? And same thing. She would go to the next one out of almost a panic. And every single one of them had a check mark next to them. I said, we're going to check mark each one that I have a reasonable alternative explanation for. The only one that was left, at the time I didn't have any information about Building 13, I think it's called. Is that right? Building 13?
I think it was Building 4, maybe.
Building 11.
How many buildings were there anyway?
Do you know what building it was?
Which one are you talking about? The one that collapsed later?
Yeah.
That was 3.
It's 3, okay, okay.
13.
I thought it was 13.
13, man.
Yeah.
Let's make it 13.
Trickadesca, baby. So I was stunned. And the one that blew my mind was...
It was Building 7, Kyle Delaney says.
Oh, Building 7. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you.
Or
Thank
was you. It?
Never forget, assholes.
Never forget. You know, just for that, Kyle, I'm going to do you a favor, and we're going to go back to Trump.
So anyway, the term I've come up with is called claim jumping.
Yeah.
Because they're going from claim to claim to claim to claim without ever acknowledging that you've given him a different reason.
Yeah.
Now, what was cool about this guy, who had been coming for months to Shermer's thing once a month, next time we came, after we had this meeting with him and we were concerned, disproved everything,
he
showed up with the same giant poster boards, but it was now about 9/11. Not a thing about the moon hoax. So this guy needed, that was that guy. Mm-hmm. His first name was Van.
Wendy just remembered.
Yeah.
No, I remember
the guy.
Yeah, but I didn't remember.
So the point was, we in that instance we had won. I'm of the opinion that we won, that we beat that guy down.
You
to
convinced
a point where
him that he wasn't necessarily right about the moon hoax,
but his mind needed conspiracy for whatever reason that is.
Yeah.
And then jumped to the next conspiracy.
I think I know why he needs that conspiracy in all of them. I think they're all conditioned to need that.
It comes from powerlessness.
No, powerless. No.
Yeah.
It's actually the government is spraying this stuff on them.
I was going to say the I feel special syndrome. I want to feel special.
I think there's a lot of reasons. All jokes aside, I think there's a lot of reasons that people get into that. My aunt used to buy into a lot of bullshit.
Religious stuff or
no, non-religious generally, although there were certain lines that we would go up to, like she believed in the afterlife and that sort of stuff. But generally, it wasn't a religious thing. Tarot cards is a great example.
And
tarot cards. And she would, it was, her argument back to me was, but don't you have any wonder in your life? Don't you? You're throwing everything away that's available to you. You're completely slamming the door on these beautiful, wondrous things. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, really does underscore what, at least for my aunt and some family members, what drives their desire for this sort of
stuff. Yeah, the answer to that, people say, well, what about the mystery? I said, well, what science does and reason does, it takes away the mystery, but leaves the awe.
There you go.
And I believe that was Carl Sagan that said that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Hold on. We'll be right back after this. Wow. Because, a quick break. You're listening to Skeptically Yours at SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, one very special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to all of our live listeners from last week. Mom, Trevor. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Trevor. Perry DeLeolia, Kyle Delaney, Sasha Luna, Zingaman, Factory Man, G2R2, Oki, Papi Chancho. I don't know what that means. Gateway to Reason.
Hey, Gateway to Reason will be there in August.
And Joe Swam.
Hi, Joe.
Thanks for being here, everybody.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Wendy Hughes, Paula Lauterbach, Brian Hart, and Jimmy Palombi.
Wendy,
thanks
you
again
were about
being
to
here.
Say something.
Yeah, I interrupted Wendy. She will not remember.
I do remember.
Remember when we were talking about what's wrong with Wendy?
No, we were talking about the sense of awe.
Yes.
Awe.
And Heather said awe.
She did.
And I can remember when I had that transition.
From
thinking that awe is in the supernatural, and that God was bigger than everything, and
don't you want to totally like believe in something that's bigger than you? You know.
Until I got to hear,
that's
I'm
cultural
pretty sure
appropriation.
It was.
That's what my people speak. You know that.
Yeah.
That.
Sorry.
somebody talked to me. It could have been at Valley College when I was taking some.
You can't believe anything.
Some college courses.
Was
at my
the space
school.
Safe? And, is the question.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally got paid attention long enough to hear about the depth of time and about fossils and how really old they are.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the line about the size of the universe, and it was. Awe. That to me was awe-inspiring.
Yeah, yeah.
To wrapping my brain around that, just
my question for you is why? What inside you made you believe that instead of believing maybe something else? Like, well, that's just what they say. That's what they think. Science thinks this.
Like
but
most
really,
people do that when they.
Yeah. Like
when
what inside of you made you go?
Are you
well,
sure? Do you know?
Right. They've got to be right about this.
Because I always liked dinosaurs, and I understood about. I understood.
Now I know why Cinny is a skeptic.
Why?
Cinny's a freak for dinosaurs.
Okay, well, I think that's the kickoff for a lot of people. That yeah. The dinosaurs are kind of interesting
yeah.
to little kids, and then when you get to learn about what is it called about the Burgess Shale. That's a whole other, yeah, those are, that's even farther back than dinosaurs. So what happens is that once you begin to learn about how paleontologists measure time by mm-hmm. the layers of rock,
yeah,
and then you learn a little bit about...
Oh, sedimentary layers.
Right, and then you learn a little bit about how
that was all planted there by aliens?
Or Satan.
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't prepared to talk about this, so I can't remember all the words, but it's about like the
you're talking about subduction and, on
right.
It's really amazing actually. A lot of people don't even know this. I'm surprised how many of my really smart friends are unaware that, for example, the Hawaiian Islands are on this chain that is just continually pumping out islands.
There's a new one. It's already been named. I can't remember the name right now, but it's already being formed.
Yeah,
that's going to mm-hmm. replace.
But
the
island
one.
Gets formed over a volcano, and then the landmass shifts over here,
right?
And then a new island.
Yeah.
So the volcano stays the same place.
But the volcano is in the same location always. On the sphere that is the Earth.
Yeah.
And it's spewing up this heat and molten stuff, and then it makes an island. But because the land is shifting. The island then moves
away.
Past the conveyor belt, and a new one is made. And that is an amazing fact.
Unfucking believable.
Isn't it phenomenal?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what that Lucy episode was based on, when she was in the factory with the chocolates on the conveyor belt.
Exactly. A lot of people don't know that was, I don't think that's
Ron Hubbard thinks that's incorrect, though.
He does think that's incorrect, really. Well, guess what? He's fucking dead.
Well, so
he could be back. You don't know.
Yeah, I do know. I do know. It's been more than 3 days.
So to answer your question, even though I'm inarticulate speaking about it, I
do
the word inarticulate. Pretty fucking articulate, I gotta say.
I understood it, and to me, that was a lot more persuasive than any other explanation for, you know, why life is the way it is on this planet.
Yeah.
So it just, I guess, depending on which way a person swings, you know, it's whatever they're persuaded the most by. I mean, some of it can be emotionally, you know, persuaded one way or the other, but, or because, you know, like people who say they believe in ghosts because they had an experience. You know?
Which I did.
I did too.
Yeah, so, Heather did too.
But I tend to lean towards, it could be another explanation where other people will lead towards, oh my God, it's real, it's a ghost. It's
I think what turned me into a skeptic and a science-minded person was my pomposity, my ego. I really didn't want to be wrong.
Right, I want to be right about things.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's my ego that drove me toward this, and I think it was I was on a crash course with it. I don't think I had a choice here, as would be argued by Sam Harris's book about destiny and that sort of thing. We are wired the way we're wired. Our genes have decided where we're going to land. And
Paul is sending me texts during the show.
Yeah.
It's the Seamount name.
Geology.com.
Zip up your fly, Heather. Come on.
No, I won't.
So, Jimmy, when did you make the decision to just throw out all the evidence and then go with the bullshit view?
Well, I was romping through this land, silver and gold and bunnies and stuff.
Yeah.
And
yay, bunnies.
And I just realized. No, yeah, I was actually going to say, you mentioned something interesting when you were saying.
I did?
It's rare, but I documented
thanks.
It.
Thanks.
And when you were talking about the 9/11 conversation.
Yeah.
Between two people, and someone saying, well, when that person gave their reasons for them thinking it was a hoax, and you could give them
reasonable explanations for the various things that had been so convincing.
But couldn't that argument be just switched around?
Well, I'll give you an example, first of all, okay? A lot of the
That doesn't hold up.
No, oh, sorry.
A
lot of the arguments that you encounter in the 9/11 discussion, for example, are really, really, really faulty, severely faulty. And one great example of that would be 2,400 degrees, I don't remember the temperature, is what it takes to melt steel. Now, I didn't need to do any research to know that that was an absolute bullshit argument. It carries no weight whatsoever in the attempt to prove that 9/11 was an inside job because...
You also had experience.
I was a firefighter at one point. Mm-hmm. And I knew that a building will come crashing down not when it melts, but when it's fatigued. Mm-hmm. And it only takes X amount of fatiguing to make a building made of steel unstable. So that was an obvious one to me. And so I didn't need to... I could say... Here's why I know this is not a good argument. Then I back that up with, let's go online and let's look up some information about this. And within minutes, we found a guy who had made a fucking video illustrating what I just talked about, illustrating how hot he had to get solid steel before it would just bend when he put a little bit of weight on it. And that heat wasn't 2,400 degrees.
A minute. Was that guy Clark Kent?
No, it was not Clark Kent. One by one, we kept doing these things. Mm-hmm. I would make the argument, and if I didn't have an argument or an explanation, we would go online and we would look for other explanations for the arguments that have been so convincing to
you. Spent a lot of time on this person. I hope you care about this
person. But
if there's
something a little more nebulous, like UFOs, maybe, it seems to be a matter of, and I'm not taking either side here, it's still a matter of someone chooses to believe one way and someone chooses to believe the other way.
It's not as simple as that, Jimmy. It's not about just choosing to believe one way. It's about adopting a systematic system. The scientific system is really, really great for this. Show me another system that's better, and by God, I'll go to that one and discard this one. But it's about adopting a system that is reliable for understanding how the world really
but
works.
Isn't that system coming from a point of something you already believe?
No.
And backing that up?
No, it's not. Not at all.
Facts?
No. In fact, I slowly came to this. I didn't decide...
No, I mean you believe in general. If a person believes about a certain subject or a certain...
When I started looking into 9/11, I so fucking wanted George W. Bush to be guilty. So no, Jimmy, it wasn't. I very, very much went looking for a way to find out if this 9/11 claim could be true. And I spent truly years, and by years I mean a total of weeks of my time over a number of years, investigating, looking into the various claims to see if this could be the case. No, I come at something trying to find out what the answer is, not to confirm that 9/11. Now, it sounds like I'm an anti 9/11 truther guy, and that's what I did to you. But that's because where I am now, after truly years, many weeks of investigation and discussion and looking into these claims and these facts and finding that it's just another conspiracy theory that doesn't hold water.
Wendy has something she wants to say.
I just think that what you're trying to say, if I don't misunderstand, is that you need a good system to help you make good decisions in your life. That you are going to be able to feel good about when you spend money, how you protect your health, what food you eat, where you live, who your friends are, who you vote for.
It'll make you happy and then will also protect you.
Yes. You in this life, I found a system that works, and it has something to do with evaluating to figure out what the hypotheses are, and how they play out in testing, and it helps me make good decisions about those issues for my family, for my loved ones, for myself, and it isn't faith.
Right. The argument that it's faith, which is kind of what the argument that you're we'll talk more about this in a minute.
I base everything on hunch, assumption, and wild accusation.
That's it for the free version of episode 109, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 9 minutes available to our premium subscribers. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. That's it for the free version of episode 109, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch.
Again.
We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers. I had that right. Very soon. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests, Wendy Hughes, Paula Lauterbach, Brian Hart, and Jimmy Palombi. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our camera switcher, Heather Henderson. Tune in next week when our guest will be...
Tolerant.
And we'll be talking about...
Intolerance.
Yes, we will.
Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph likes his coffee like he likes his men. Swam.
Ha! You called him a fag.
Yes.
Where can people find you, Jimmy Palombi?
Moon landings.
Where can people find Brian Hart?
I'm right in front of you, man.
Here he is.
Same answer.
Where can people find you, Wendy?
The Odds Must Be Crazy is on Skepticality Podcast with Heather and me.
And that's right. Where you can find Heather. Is that right, Heather?
You can find me everywhere. Just
You've
Google me.
You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.
Any duplication of Skeptically Yours is strictly prohibited without express written consent of the RFL.